Also on the line now, Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Homer Public Health Center. And Dorotha Hey, good morning. And Dorotha Ferraro is here from South Peninsula Hospital. You there, Dorotha?
Good morning, Kathleen.
Awesome. So if you have questions, you can email them to info@kbbi.org, or you can call them in. Matt is standing by to write them down or send your call into the studio. But it's Dorotha and Lauren for the next few minutes. Thank you both so much. And I know I read that Juno found out Tuesday that they're getting about 1,000 doses of Pfizer vaccine and 500 doses of Moderna vaccine. So I wanted to check in with Nurse Lauren about vaccine that might be coming to Homer. And then we're going to check in with Dorotha because you have some information to share about that. But Nurse Lauren, can you, have the vaccines for Homer been announced?
Oh, sure thing. I'm thankful that I brought some friends with me. Dorotha, can you help me with that question?
Oh. Okay, then.
Yes, there are several locations on the Southern Peninsula that will be receiving vaccine. The hospital will be receiving the largest number, but then other locations are SVT, Safeway, and Ketchumak Bay Medical Group. Those locations, the dose numbers are very small, but every vaccine provider, the more vaccine providers we can grow and create on the Southern Peninsula, the better the rollout for the overall community, because those places offer it more regularly by appointment, although often for their patient group only. And then the hospital doses are being used more for mass vaccination in these 1 and 2 day type mass events where more people are getting it at one time.
Right. People should know that, you can clarify this for me, but when you sign up on the state website, if you register on the state website to get a vaccine, it's not coming from South Peninsula Hospital, right?
I don't know very much about the state website registration process. I am very sorry, Kathleen. The one thing I can speak very clearly and factually to is the hospital, the doses that were assigned to the hospital. And we learned yesterday, beginning of day, that we were getting 500 for the month of February. And then we learned last night that that number was increased to 600. And they explained to us that the reason was just because we reached so many people so quickly. And that is the goal nationally as well as statewide, that our goal is to reach as many people in the eligible group as quickly as possible, certainly safely and efficiently, but to reach as many as possible. So we were advised last night that we can expect 600 Moderna vaccines for next week. As a result of that, we are planning with the City of Homer, the Homer Unified Command, to do a 2-day event on February 5th and 6th at the Community Christian Church. And appointments for that will go live on Tuesday at 10 a.m. And we heard a lot of
You mean appointments on the state website, or where does the person register?
Yes.
Okay. So it is. I was under the impression that.
No.
Okay.
No.
Go ahead.
So appointments for that February 5 and 6 event will be accessed in two ways. One, through the hospital website. You can Google South Peninsula Hospital, or you can type in SPHOSP. Those are the initials short for South Peninsula Hospital, SPHOSP.org. And there will be 500 doses, 500 appointments available through a link on the hospital website. And that goes live on Tuesday at 10 a.m. And if you are not web savvy, if you honestly need help and cannot do it on your own on the internet, then we have a helpline set up at the City of Homer, and that is 435-3188. And that phone starts being answered on Tuesday at 10 a.m. So you can call in advance, but it just gives you the information that I just spoke about. And we are asking the community to please, please use that line for the people who honestly do not have internet and computer access. We're trying so hard to make sure that this is equal and fair distribution to people. That's one of the reasons we get allocated so many as compared to other areas, because we're really making an effort to try to reach those who do not have computer access. So those 100 appointments over on that phone line for people without computer, and the 500 on the hospital website are for those that do.
Okay.
Let me also remind you that you can help others. This is not unique to the computer operator. So if Kathleen has a neighbor who does not have computer access, and the neighbor told her that they were looking for an appointment, Kathleen can go on to the hospital website and set that person an appointment. All they need is their name and their date of birth and a phone number. If you have an email, that's even better, because then we can send the confirmation to that email, but it's not required. Name, date of birth, and phone number is what is required to set the appointment.
Okay, so we could all help someone get their appointment. Now I have a
you
question. I want to switch over to Nurse Lauren, because I haven't talked to you in so long. Bumpo calls and asks, he says he got the first shot and he wants to know what amount of protection it gives and how fast that protection is activated. And the same question regarding the second shot.
Okay, yeah, that's a great question. And the most important answer to carry forward is it's not known. There's not a mechanism to know that's readily available for everyone to know how much protection each individual can have from one or two doses. But backing up from a broader perspective, we can speak to through a population lens, given the studies that have been done. And those studies show us, those initial and required studies that prove safety and efficacy, have shown us that these two vaccines are proven to be like 95% effective after the second dose. And that's a pretty amazing thing, and it's really helpful. And then let's see. Oh, yeah. Also, the question of when will antibodies or protection start to be created within each individual? Generally, inactivated vaccines, the body starts to create protection to those infections about 10 to 14 days after the shot. And that depends on from person to person.
Thanks, Nurse Lauren. And then Leslie asks, what is the status of COVID variants in Alaska? I know that one of the new strains has been detected in Alaska now. Nurse Lauren, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I can take a stab at it. You know, January 26th, when was that? On Tuesday?
Yes.
On Tuesday, Alaska Department of Health and Social Services announced that there was an Anchorage resident who tested positive with one of the variants, B.1.1.7, and that was the one that was originally detected in the UK back in September. So that's kind of our first indication that we know that variant is here. But, you know, the reality is that we expect mutations and variants to come out of these viruses. And then the other kind of take home there is that we fully expect, just from an epidemiological perspective, that those variants have probably been around in Alaska for a little while. And there's no way of knowing to what extent. So it's probably has some kind of, it's probably present throughout Alaska to some degree. And then I guess the last take home is that the initial evidence that's available shows that three particular variants that we're really watching closely are more infectious. They transmit easier to another person. So what we would expect is that one of these newer variants may be the more popular one in Alaska as early as March.
And does the current vaccine protect people from that new variant?
Yeah, that's a good question, and that's yet to be seen.
Moderna, there's so much we don't know.
Moderna, yeah, that's right. Moderna, they recently announced that they have some preliminary studies that shows that vaccine efficacy might be reduced a little bit for the B.1.1.7 variant, but that data hasn't been released, and that's yet to be seen. So stay tuned.
Thanks. Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. Elizabeth asks, is it still for vaccines just 65 and older, or is the vaccine currently available for those under 65 with underlying conditions?
So the eligible groups right now are everybody in phase 1A, which was basically frontline healthcare, frontline EMS and fire service personnel, long-term care, nursing home. So that group that started in late December, early January. So that group, as well as phase 1B, Tier 1, and Tier 1 is persons age 65 years and older. So for now, based on state directive, those groups are the only groups that are eligible for the vaccine.
Thanks. And everybody remember, you can contact, if you have a healthcare provider like Nanilchik Medical Center, Homer Medical Center, you can call them to see about making an appointment, or are they going through PrepMod as well?
Thank you for that question. Super important. Right now, Homer Medical and the Family Care Clinic are not set up to do doses in the clinic setting. We've done the math on that, and the amount of time it would take to reach their patient population group that meets the criteria would be truly months. And so we are harnessing the expertise and the staff from those two clinics to help the hospital with these max vaccination events. So the Homer Medical and the Family Care Clinic do not have appointments available right now for getting vaccinated in the clinic. We do hope that by March that we will have those in place. But again, your allocation drops based on the number of people you can reach. And so as an organization, we felt committed to assist with the Unified Command and Public Health in using our entire allocation for the mass vaccine clinics.
And SVT, I spoke with SVT Health and Wellness, Emily Reed, and on Tuesday, and she told me that they have been at SVT Health and Wellness, they have been contacting their regular patients who fit the criteria for vaccination and signing them up and scheduling them. They do also keep a wait list if for people who can literally be there in 20 minutes if they have extra vaccine. But they're going to check in with me early in the week to find out about how much they'll have for those purposes, and that you can be, if you have never been a patient of SVT Health and Wellness, you can still call them to sort of become a patient by asking about the vaccine and getting, if you fit the criteria for vaccination. Now, I have a question from Art. Art says the other week they were given the number 235-4636 to call. What is the status of folks who signed up by that method? And I spoke yesterday with Bud Sexton from the Office of Emergency Management for the borough, so I have that. They have received approximately 130 calls since the end of last week. Call center waiting list is intended for seniors who need technology assistance whenever more vaccines become available. And for people who wish to make a COVID vaccination appointment online, the Office of Emergency Management Manager Dan Nelson has made a narrated step-by-step video that walks people through the appointment process using PrepMod. You can find that at kpb.us on their COVID information page. If you want to watch a video, that'll take you through to show you how to sign up. And
Kathleen,
go ahead. Go ahead, Dorotha.
If I can clarify that. So, for example, the hospital for the mass vaccine event, we chose not to use PrepMod. PrepMod is set up for somewhat routine medical appointment information gathering, which means it's a lot of steps and a lot of information gathered. And we heard loud and clear from our community they just wanted to set an appointment. And so that's why we are using just a generic appointment setter that only asks for name, date of birth and phone number. So we are not using PrepMod down here for the hospital. I can't speak to the other clinics, local clinics or pharmacies. So I just want people to know that the video that you just spoke about does not apply to the mass vaccination clinic that will be appointments will be going live on Tuesday. And just to help people, the state is trying through all of their systems to centralize and unify this process. And some of us out further on the road system and even in remote areas, it's challenging for us to follow that model. Like for example, we just learned last night how many doses we're receiving, so it would be impossible for us to be ready today to accept appointments because you have to set your appointment module based on the staffing and the number of appointments or number of doses there are available. So when the state says they're going live today at noon to set appointments, we are not part of that because we are not able to meet that that deadline.
Thank you for clarifying that. That's the thing that I needed to make clear to people when I was trying to figure out how. So Nikki Sarzi asks, what precautions are vaccinated people advised to take about masking, social distancing, and keeping pods small? Nurse Lauren, how about, can you take that one?
Oh yeah, sure. The short answer is that the recommendation for community mitigation measures doesn't change in the presence or the absence of vaccine history for COVID-19. And here's kind of the deal is that there's no way of knowing if the vaccine for an individual is going to be successful in preventing the transmission of that virus from one person to the next. And it also, probably more importantly, is that these vaccines weren't studied on their efficacy for preventing the transmission of the virus from one person to the next. They were studied in regards to decreasing death and hospitalizations from the virus. So as a community, if we continue to use these mitigation measures, it will best position us for success in the future.
Thanks, Nurse Lauren. I also wanted to know if there's anything on your list. I have one more question that's definitely for Dorotha, but I wanted to check in with you to see if you have anything you want to share. And then I have, when we're done here, I have an interview to run with two of the workers from Haven House to talk about how they're keeping their facility COVID safe. But Nurse Lauren,
I've got a couple items on
my
list.
Go for it. Yeah.
You know, I'm just sitting here and just want to bring up a couple points of celebration because, you know, we as a broad state community, we've been in this for a year. So just to hold up a couple things to feel really good about are, you know, 12% of Alaskans have received a COVID vaccine so far. And you know, I just mentioned that that's meant to be known to decrease deaths and hospitalizations, but I do think it's going to be key in ending the pandemic, so that's really amazing. And 3% of Alaskans have completed the series. And then maybe second and lastly, I'm just checking out the vaccine monitoring dashboard. And this is like information that we didn't have available to the broad public in 2009 during H1N1. And one thing that's really cool about this is when you look at the vaccine series completed by race, you can tell right there that 6,600 Alaska Natives have already been vaccinated as compared to, say, whites who are at 4,700.
Well, they have a far higher death rate, don't they? In the state of Alaska?
Well, there's maybe a couple of biggies might be, you know, access to care is very different for our Alaska Native friends and family, who many of which live in the bush. But also, yeah, it's known that that community and those communities are impacted with health disparities in much different ways than other races. And then also, lastly, notable is the unknown race that's been vaccinated is 6,300. So something that you folks can do to help us out in reporting this data, if available, and you're comfortable with this, mark which race that you identify yourself as.
Thanks. And Nurse Lauren, Sarah wants to know whether or not teachers will be on the priority list to receive vaccines anytime soon, especially with schools now reopening daily, and how community members might advocate for teachers to be prioritized. Do you have any information on whether or not teachers are going to be on the priority list to receive vaccines anytime soon?
Yeah, she's really highlighting something there. That's important because folks are in kind of like almost like a congregate setting. But the honest answer is that's unknown.
Okay.
We would need to know a couple things, like how much vaccine is coming next, when it's going to come next, and what the allocation committee, which groups are going to open it up to. So I guess I would say stay tuned.
Okay.
And there might be additional opportunities for public comment on that.
I have to get Dorotha before she has to leave. Leslie asks, and Art wants to know, about getting the first shot or the second shot and the appointments that you're making. How does the process work? If Art made an appointment for a specific time when he got the first shot, is that still good? Or do you have to go through the inoculation sign-up system again?
Wow, great question. Thank you. I will put that answer on the website.
Okay.
So if you made your appointment for your second dose, so I'm speaking to the folks that were at the church on January 15th or 16th, because other first doses have happened throughout the community, okay? If you got your first dose at the Community Christian Church on January 15 or 16, your appointment that was made then is still valid and it is being held for you. You do not need to make another appointment. The appointment module that's going live on Tuesday at 10 a.m. is for a whole new round of people to get their first dose.
Okay, thanks so much, Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital and Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Homer Public Health Center and the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. Thanks so much, both of you.
Thanks, team.
Okay, you guys have a good morning.